Ethical problems with a pre-implantation genetic diagnosis of human embryos. José Tomás Alvarado Marambio, Instituto de Filosofía, Pontificia Universidad Católica de Chile, Chile. Correspondence, jalvaramadoc.cl. Manuel J. Santos Alcantara, Facultad de Ciencias Biológicas, Centro de Biotica, Facultad de Medicina, Pontificia Universidad Católica de Chile, Chile. Abstract. The purpose of pre-implantation genetic diagnosis by embryonary biopsy is to identify genetic alterations prior to the implantation of embryos produced by in vitro fertilization. The most important aim is the selection of genetically healthy embryos due to their genetic indemnity, but it can also be used to select the sex or, eventually, other detectable traits according to the wishes of the parents. This procedure has been the subject of scientific debates, in relation to the harm that it can cause to healthy embryos that are going to be implanted, and in relation to the interpretation of the genetic tests made. Ethical debates have also focused on the production of and respect for the life and the integrity of a developing human beings. In this work, it is argued that most of the uses of PGD are morally reprehensible, because they are done with disregard to the dignity that should be granted to embryos as human persons. Keywords: pre-implantation genetic diagnosis, human embryos, ethical status of embryos, persons, dignity. The development of pre-implantation genetic diagnosis, PGD herein, has raised numerous ethical issues, which is reflected in policy and legal debates around the legitimacy of this technique and its limits. PGD can be used to detect genetic diseases in embryos, and if its use were extended, it could allow for determining if an embryo has certain features desired by the parents, even though these may be related to diseases that require treatment. PGD may have limited use in detecting and treating pathologies, but has in fact been used as a source of information for eliminating defective embryos. One of the applications of PGD that has received more attention from the media and that has been presented as a justification for its use is the generation of savior babies, that is, the possibility of choosing a child that could be a useful source for transplants for a sibling. On the other hand, children that do not have favorable characteristics will end up frozen and then dead. Wettstein L.M. Ethical challenges in assisted reproduction, the place of pre-implantation genetic diagnosis in a just society. J. Child Neural 2013. It is obvious that the development of these technical possibilities requires reflection on their implications. What is in question is what children represent for their parents. Are they a product or a gift? And if they have a genetic flaw, do they lack dignity and deserve to be condemned to die? Do parents have the right to decide what characteristics their children will have? There are important reasons to maintain that children cannot be disposable objects like consumer products. This kind of ethical questioning has become particularly urgent with the development of CRISPR/Cas9 gene editing. This work does not deal with the problems associated with gene editing, which will be the focus of a future work, note, in Spanish. Santos M.J. Manipulación Genética de Seres Humanos. Ars Medica 2006. Wiry Thormal. Prenatal and pre-implantation diagnosis from the parent's viewpoint. In Screcci, Lofit J., eds. The Human Embryo Before Implantation. Scientific Aspects and Bioethical Considerations. Proceedings of the 12th Assembly of the Pontifical Academy for Life, Vatican, 2006. These ethical questions are presented in a global context of significant differences in the treatment of embryos under distinct jurisdictions. Far from being a guide in relation to shared moral intuitions, legislation has been a source of confusion. In effect, although biology has shown beyond any doubt that the development of a new human being begins with fertilization, legislation in several countries questions whether the life of an embryo prior to implantation is that of a human being and whether an embryo deserves respect under these conditions. Burgess Jacob, is zygote be a human being? Bioethics 2008. Some countries have gone further and have even affirmed that respect for a human being is conditioned by his, her state of development or capacity to completely express his, her potential. For example, in the European Economic Community it is considered that the human nature of the embryo is acquired after 14 days of development, given that it is at this point that the embryonic nervous system becomes evident. This also coincides with the process of gastrulation, when conjoined twins can be generated. Consequently, in these European countries the human embryo is a subject that merits respect from day 14 post-fertilization onward, and before which the embryo is an object or thing, referred to as a pre-embryo, and consequently susceptible to manipulation. Law 20.10/2006, in Chile regulates scientific investigation involving human beings and the human genome and prohibits cloning. It establishes the respect deserving human beings from conception and explicitly prohibits the manipulation of embryos. Debates continue in other countries about regulating PGD. De Wert G., Donorp W., Shenfield F., et al. Escher Task Force on Ethics and Law 22, Preimplantation Genetic Diagnosis, Human Reproduction 2014, and Damien B.B., Bonetti T.C., Arovitz D.D. Practices and Ethical Concerns Regarding Preimplantation Diagnosis. Who regulates preimplantation genetic diagnosis in Brazil? Res J. Med Biores. 2015. In what follows, we will first explain what the PGD technique consists of and discuss the risks that it implies or could imply for the development of the embryo. Secondly, we will argue that the embryo should be treated morally as a person, and thirdly, we discuss the implication of this on ethical reflections about PGD. Section 1. What is preimplantation diagnosis? The fertilization of an oocyte, egg, by a spermatozoid occurs naturally in the fallopian tubes and results in the formation of a zygote that represents the first stage in the development of a new human being. The egg nucleus, pronucleus, contains the 23 maternal chromosomes and the spermatozoid contains the 23 paternal chromosomes. Both sets of chromosomes have genetic changes in DNA structure and epigenetic changes in gene expression that are complementary and require to biologically generate human beings. The maternal mitochondria contribute her DNA to complete the genome of the zygote. By successive divisions and differentiation, the zygote forms all the cell types present in human beings. There is no doubt that the zygote has a new genetic structure. With this, the first stage in the development of a new human organism begins. It is an ongoing and predictable development that ends with a complete development of the organism. Ventura Junca P., Santos M.J. The beginning of life of a new human being from the scientific perspective and its bioethical implications. Biol. Rees. 2011 and note, in Spanish Santos M.J., Ventura Junca P. El Inicio de la Vida en Nuevo Ser Humano desde la Perspectiva Científica Biológica. And Rodriguez A., ed. Aborto y anticoncepción de emergencia, aspectos antropológicos, éticos y jurídicos. Ecuador, Ediciones del Centro de Biótica de la Universidad Técnica Particular de la UGA, 2013. The zygote contains a new genome, the fundamental structure of which is maintained throughout its development and identifies the unicellular embryo as biologically human and specifies its individuality. The zygote is a totipotential cell capable of generating the entire organism. Burgess J. Could a zygote be a human being? Bioethics 2008. After the membrane of the spermatozoid fuses with the egg, a series of biological events begin that lead to the development of the embryo. The genome begins to express itself within a few hours of fertilization. Daniels R., Lowell S., Bolton V., Monk M. Transcription of tissue-specific genes in human pre-implantation embryos. Human reproduction. The first division of the zygote occurs around 30 hours after fertilization, resulting in the first two cells, which are termed blastomeres, each of which has 46 chromosomes. The two blastomeres then divide into and the embryonic genome begins to be expressed more massively, that is, an epigenome is configured, Igami K., Akin J., Tanaka S., Yagi S., Shiaruke interplay between DNA methylation, histone modification and chromatin remodeling in stem cells and during development. Int. J. Deb. Biol. 2009. At 3 days post-fertilization, the embryo is full of cells, blastomeres, and amorula is formed. By the 4th or 5th day, the embryo grows and produces a cavity, generating a blastocyst. Cellular territories appear in the blastocyst with specific functions. Stem cells appear that are responsible for producing the distinct cellular tissue of the body. Santos M.J., Ventura Genka P. Bioethical aspects of basic research and medical applications of human stem cells. Biol Rees 2012. By day 7 post-fertilization, the embryo reaches and lodges in the uterus, where hormone production begins, the detection of which in laboratory tests provides the clinical identification of pregnancy. This supports the definition of pregnancy of the World Health Organization. It is important to note that the mother hosts the embryo in her body unknowingly 7 days prior to implantation. There is currently no reliable test to confirm that fertilization has occurred. The implanted blastocyst subsequently continues developing and a gastrulation begins by day 14 to 16 post-fertilization, which gives rise to the fetal organs. Thus, the central nervous system begins to develop on day 14, and up to day 14 or 16 it is possible that the embryo divides and generates conjoined twins. Smith B. Brogard B. 16 days. J. Med. Follows. 2003. Pre-implantation genetic diagnosis, PGD, was first described by Handyside et al. In a 1990 issue of Nature. Andy Sida, Contogani A., Hardy K., Winston R. M. L. Pregnancies from biopsied human pre-implantation embryos sexed by Y-specific DNA amplification. Nature 1990. The technique involves extracting blastomeres by biopsy from embryos that are at the 2-cell stage to the blastocyst stage to obtain DNA for genetic molecular analysis with microchips that simultaneously analyze the DNA in thousands of genes. Brezina PR, Brezina DS, Kearns WG. Pre-implantation genetic testing. BMJ 2012. And now the same embryo can be rebiopsied. Zhang S., Tan K., Gong F., et al. Blastocysts can be rebiopsied for pre-implantation genetic diagnosis and screening. Fertile Sterile. 2014. The potential harm that biopsy can cause embryos in early stages of development had been assessed, and it has been shown that biopsies of blastomeres at day 3, in the morula stage, significantly reduces subsequent implantation and results in fewer live births. Scott K. L., Hong K. H., Scott R. T. Jr. Selecting the optimal time to perform biopsy for pre-implantation genetic testing. Fertile Sterile. 2013. The DNA from a single cell is sufficient to research thousands of genetic mutations responsible for many genetic disorders. Collins S. C. Pre-implantation genetic diagnosis, technical advances and expanding applications. Kurpin Upstit Gynekol. 2013. For example, alterations in just one gene, as in cystic fibrosis, in many genes, as in breast cancer, or in chromosomes, as in Down syndrome. It is important to consider that finding genetic mutations in embryonic DNA does not necessarily mean that the disorder will emerge, given that genes do not have a predetermined role but rather a probabilistic one that requires interaction with many other genes and with the environment in which the embryo develops. In fact, there has been a debate recently about the significance of findings of genetic variants of clinical uncertainty. Martin J. Cervero E., Mir P., Martinez Comdaro Yara, Pellicere, Simon C. The impact of next-generation sequencing technology on pre-implantation genetic diagnosis and screening. Fertile Sterile. 2013. The absence of any alteration in the genes examined by the technique does not ensure that the embryo will be healthy, given that there may be alterations in other genes that were not tested. In terms of the degree of risk involved in embryonic biopsy, It cannot be ensured that extracting cells does not have harmful consequences for the subsequent development of the embryo. Scott R.T., Upham K.M., Foreman Edge, et al. Cleavage stage biopsy significantly impairs human embryonic implantation potential while blastocyst biopsy does not. A randomized and paired clinical trial. Fertilis Herald 2013 and Simpson J.L. Pre-implantation genetic diagnosis at 20 years. Prenat Diag. 2010. With the discovery that the cells of pre-implanted embryos have a certain orientation in their own the organism, Zernike et al. Cleavage pattern and emerging asymmetry of the mouse embryo. Nat Rev. Moles Cell Biol. 2005. Concerns have been raised as to whether the removal of a cell can result in alterations in the embryo's development or if the remaining blastomeres can reprogram themselves to compensate for the loss. In this regard, samples have been taken from other parts of the embryo where biopsy would be potentially less harmful. Thus, biopsy of the trophectid derm, structure that gives rise to embryonic appendages like the placenta, in the blastocyst state appears to be a safer technique. Biopsies of polar bodies have also been used to explore genetic alterations in embryos, ISSJ, Kromik I, Schiglinski J, Jogello M, Lukasik K. Current methods for pre-implantation genetic diagnosis. Giancult al. 2016. A technical problem that remains unresolved is the detection of numeric chromosome alterations, aneuploidy, in only one or two cells of an 8-cell embryo, while the rest are normal, termed mosaicism, and in particular the final result of a pregnancy. PGD also presents limitations in relation to specific genetic diseases such as mitochondrial disorders. When a genetic alteration is found in an embryo, it is not implanted and most often is eliminated. In some cases the embryo is frozen at minus 180 degrees Celsius and subsequently eliminated. In relation to the safety of the technique, effects on the growth and behavior of animals born after PGD have been shown. Nevertheless, such effects on humans have not been observed in preliminary studies. One variant of the PGD procedure is pre-implantation genetic screening, PGS, which emerged in 2011 with the introduction of the next-generation sequencing method, which was used to identify more than 400 genes associated with recessive genetic disorders. This technology is currently being used to detect changes in the number of chromosomes, aneuploidy, in embryos obtained from genetically normal parents by in vitro fertilization, Bode et al. Pre-implantation genetic screens. Science Translational Medicine 2015. Section 2. Is the embryo morally a person? Ethical consideration of PGD not only requires careful attention to the specifics of the techniques that are used and their effect on the development of the embryo, but it is also critical clarity as to whether or not the embryo is a person. There are important differences that turn on this question in evaluating the risks involved in PGD. A relevant fact for this question is that the human organism begins life with fertilization. There is no serious doubt that embryo is the same biological organism that later becomes a fetus, then a child and then an adult person. The question posed by several philosophers, however, is whether or not we should identify a human person with a human organism. The central motivations to differentiate between a human being and a biological organism have arisen at least since John Locke. An Essay Concerning Human Understanding, 2, Cap. 27. In the earlier philosophical tradition, well represented by Boccio, a person is an individual substance of rational nature, rationalis naturae individua substantia, ML 64, 1343. A substance is an entity that exists by itself and does not depend on other entities. It continues over time and is the same at different moments. Taking into consideration that this substance has a rational nature, it is argued that it has an intrinsic form of being that, if not impeded, tends to foster the rational activity of mature human. A human being is typically capable of higher cognitive activity and of deliberate and conscious decision-making. This reflective capacity endows human beings with a special moral responsibility for their actions and makes them responsible for their moral character. In their rational and free character, persons are endowed with a certain dignity by which they should be treated as ends in themselves. Santo Tomás de Aquino, Summa Theologiae, I, Q. 29, A. 3, C. However, in the philosophical tradition, the morally special character of persons is not related to the actual exercise of freedom and rationality. One does not exercise these capacities when in a deep sleep, nor do small children or, of course, embryos. This does not prevent them from being persons, as we are dealing with the same substance that, because of its intrinsic nature, has an internal dynamism destined to give rise to freedom and rationality, provided this dynamism is not in some way impeded. One can appreciate that the idea has long been maintained that the embryo and later the fetus go through a process of retarded animation in which it gradually acquires the human character. Cf. St. Thomas Aquinas, Expositio Super Io, 395-400. This does not cast in doubt the central concept that a person is a substance that persists over time, being the same at different moments and possessing a rational nature that tends toward rationality and freedom. It is simply that knowledge of the biological process in the past was much more limited. The knowledge available today through embryology leaves no doubt that from fertilization onward we are dealing with a human organism. However, this philosophical tradition has changed profoundly since Locke's time. For Locke, the conditions of identity of a person arise from the continuity of psychological states, among which memory plays a crucial role. For the psychological view introduced by Locke, what makes a person P1 at time T1 the same as P2 at T2 is the fact that there is continuity between the psychological states of P2 at T2 and P1 at T1. Psychological continuity has preeminence with respect to the continuity of the same biological organism. What is essential to a person are her/his mental states, of which the individual is conscious in a first-person perspective. What supports such mental states is something secondary. The question then is whether only one with mental states of this type is a person. Only those are individuals that have a sense of continuing over time as a person. It can be appreciated then that there are motives of the philosophical tradition present in these ideas, but profoundly transformed. For the philosophical tradition, a person is one that possesses a nature that tends to produce mental states of a rational character. In contrast, according to Locke's conception, a person is a set of mental states of a rational character. The states should be localized in one human organism or another, if you will, but this localizing is ultimately accidental. During much of the last century, the debate about personal identity was a continuation and refinement of the psychological Lockean conception. Martin R. Barsej, eds. Personal Identity. Oxford, Blackwell, 2003, and Perry J., ed. Personal Identity. Berkeley, University of California Press, 2008. It isn't strange that this psychological conception of personal identity and of the person has been drawn upon in debates on ethical questions. Two philosophers that have taken up this point of view very notably are Michael Tilley and Peter Singer. For them, only those who are conscious of themselves in different moments, have interests and are capable of planning for their lives in the long term are persons. Tilley and Abortion and Infanticide. Philosophy and Public Affairs 1972 and Singer P. Practical Ethics. Cambridge, Cambridge University Press, 1993. For Singer, the fetus does not fall under this characterization of a person, while many animals do. However, very young children and persons with highly limited cognitive capacities also do not meet this characterization. The same reasons for excluding embryos from the condition of a person also serve to exclude many other human beings that are already born. Many find this position excessive, although it seems more coherent if one has accepted the psychological conception of identity in any of its forms. A variety of alternative theories have been explored that are less shocking in terms of their moral consequences, in which the character of the unborn person is acquired between fertilization and birth. Hotcher CH. The Ethics of Abortion. Women's Rights, Human Life, and the Question of Justice. London, Routledge, 2011. For example, it has been argued that the fetus only becomes a person when it has conscious desires or interests. Boone and D. The Defense of Abortion. Cambridge, Cambridge University Press, 2003. It has been argued that the fetus becomes a person when it has the capacity to feel pain or pleasure. It has also been argued that the fetus becomes a human being when it has a functioning brain. All these theories are derived from the psychological conception, and they partly relate the requirements of the Lockean tradition followed by Tully and Singer. Other theories have proposed the instinct when the fetus becomes viable as the critical moment, that is, when it is able to survive without its mother help. It is clear that we do not use a criterion of this type to judge the personal character of a seriously ill person, because of which it be ruled out from here on. It has also been proposed as a criterion the moment in which the fetus shows movement or when it begins having a human appearance. These criteria make the character of a person depend on certain recognition that one can grant to a fetus as an equal. These criteria can rapidly be ruled out given that the character of a person cannot consist in an extrinsic property or set of properties. A property F is extrinsic if and only if it is not intrinsic. A property F is intrinsic if and only if the fact of X is F or not, where X is any object, is founded on parts of X if it is founded on anything. For a long time it was considered that blacks or other groups did not appear human. Another criteria proposed to fix the moment at which the embryo begins to be a person is implantation. This is not a psychological criterion like the former. The argument behind this proposal is that before implantation we are not dealing with an authentic organism but rather a collection of totipotential cells. In effect, the formation of twins can occur before implanting. The assumptions on which this theory rests have been shown empirically to be false. Zernike gets M cleavage pattern in emerging asymmetry of the mouse embryo. Nat Reverend Moles Cell Biol. 2005. It is evident that from the moment of fertilization the embryo is an organism. Even at the point of the first mitosis there is a certain evident degree of specialization of the two cells that make up the embryo. The conceptions that have rejected that the embryo has the character of a person by one means or another involve the psychological theory of personal identity. However, this theory has proven to be disastrous as an explanation of the conditions of the identity of a person. Martin R. Barr S.E.J.S. Introduction. Personal Identity and What Matters in Survival, an Historical Overview. In Martin R. Barr S.E.J.S. Personal Identity. Oxford, Blackwell, 2003. The latest developments in this tradition have been so disastrous that they have rejected the notion of persons as entities that are identical at different moments over time. The fundamental difficulty is that psychological continuity is a vague relationship that is given in degrees that can be greater or lesser and not one-to-one. In contrast, identity is a precise one-to-one relationship, reflective, symmetric and transitive. One scenario that has long been considered is the following. Suppose that the brain of a person, P1, is removed. There are cases of persons surviving the destruction of one hemisphere of the brain. And suppose that a method of brain transplanting has been developed, so that the right hemisphere of P1's brain can be transplanted to another person. Let's say P2, whose brain had been removed earlier. And the left hemisphere of P1's brain is transplanted to yet another person. Let's say P3, whose brain was also removed earlier. If the transplants are successful, P2 will be psychologically continuous with P1, and P3 will be psychologically continuous with P1. If one argues in general terms that personal identity is based on psychological continuity, then P1 equals P2 and P1 equals P3. But identity is symmetric and transitive, so that it follows that P2 equals P3, which is clearly false. Psychological continuity is not sufficient for personal identity, but neither can it be necessary for personal identity. Support a person P4 suffers severe brain damage that causes him to lose practically all his memories. P4's beliefs, intentions, preferences and character traits change radically such that he is psychologically discontinuous with pre-injury P4. Wouldn't it be reasonable that we say that post-injury P4 is different from pre-injury P4? Suppose that after a year, P4 recovers his memories, beliefs, preferences, intentions and character traits. Wouldn't it be reasonable to argue that P4 had reappeared after a hiatus of a year? There are no intermittent persons. Consequently, psychological continuity does not appear to be necessary for personal identity. The alternatives to the classic views of the person are not adequate. Our conception of the dignity of the person is related to the idea that people are substances that are identical at different moments over time and have an intrinsic nature that tends toward the development of rational thought and freedom. In this vision, we must concede the character of a person to every human individual, and the embryo is clearly a human individual. The most recent and robust position on personal identity links this to the identity of the same organism over time. 53-56. Olson E. The Human Animal. Personal Identity Without Psychology. 1997 and Snowden P.F. Persons, Animals, Ourselves. 2014. This is exactly what should be supposed. A human embryo is the same organism that will subsequently be a mature human if its development is not impeded. If the mature human being is a person, then the embryo is as well. Section 3. Ethical Evaluation. According to what has been argued above, an embryo should receive the same treatment as a human person, although we are dealing with a little person that has not yet shown his rational capacities and autonomy. Nor do children know many ill persons have these capacities. A dignity should be granted to the embryo as an equal to any other person. There are two types of consequences that this dignity with respect to PGD. A. Risk evaluation. Firstly, given that the embryo is a person, the risks involved in the application of PGD are risks to persons. Normally in our individual and collective social decisions it is reasonable to assume certain risks if they are compensated for by corresponding benefits. Driving a car implies a certain probability of having an accident. When one takes out a term deposit, there is a probability that the bank will not be able to meet its obligation. If these probabilities are low, it is rational to act in the face of such risks. When it is a matter of activities or processes that imply serious harm to persons, it is reasonable to be much more demanding with respect to the risks that are assumed. If a treatment is going to be introduced, for example, it is required that there must be a clear understanding of the risks of using the treatment and its therapeutic effectiveness. A doctor that gives his patients medicine without knowing the risks that medicine poses would be criminal for doing so. Ignorance of the effects of a medication does not relieve criminal liability. In the case of the use of PGD, a lower standard cannot be applied. Ignorance of the adverse effects of a technology certainly does not make its use legitimate. As noted above, there are well-founded reasons to doubt the safety of PGD. There is evidence with animal models that its use can be harmful. Until it has been clarified that PGD does not produce similar harmful effects in humans, its use should be prohibited. Trophectoderm biopsy appears to offer less risk, but once again ignorance of adverse techniques does not make this technique legitimate. The complexity of epigenetic processes obliges extreme caution with any interference in the development of the embryo. B. Illegitimate uses. PGD can simply determine whether or not an embryo has any pathology, which in itself is not morally questionable. In principle, it is better to know something than to be ignorant of it. If the use of PGD is for the purpose of applying treatment that can restore the health of the embryo, its use is not only legitimate but also morally laudable. The most serious ethical problem emerges because the most common use of PGD is to determine if the embryo is appropriate. The consequence of PGD revealing pathology is that the embryo is killed or frozen. Both intentionally causing the death of embryos and freezing them are seriously incorrect actions from a moral perspective. An action that in abstract is good or neutral because of the type of intent behind it can become wrongful if it has been done as a means toward a morally wrongful act. Thus, if PGT is a means to killing embryos, its use is morally reprehensible. The use of PGT to select other features considered desirable in embryos is also morally reprehensible. It is likewise seriously wrong for parents or any other person to intentionally kill a person because that person is sick or because, for example, that person is not sufficiently intelligent or beautiful. Section 4. Conclusions. This work has explained what PGT consists of. We have argued that the embryo is a person that deserves to be treated morally as an equal and not as a consumer product to satisfy the preferences of parents or anyone else. This imposes significant restrictions on the use of PGT. Firstly, its use can only be authorized with sufficient knowledge of the risks it poses for the embryo. This knowledge does not exist at present, and there are well-founded reasons to think that there are serious objective risks. Secondly, any use of PGT that has the end result of intentionally killing embryos that do not comply with selected preferences is morally reprehensible. Its use for selecting embryos to be frozen is also morally reprehensible. Acknowledgements. This work was written in the context of the research project VRI number 2742013 and 2015 of the Pontificia Universidad Católica de Chile. Part of this work was presented at the Symposium Pre-Implantation Genetic Diagnosis, an Interdisciplinary View, held on April 27, 2016 and sponsored by the Faculty of Biology, Pontificia Universidad Católica de Chile. We are grateful for the comments and suggestions of the persons attending the symposium. References. 1. Hens K, Donorp W, Andes I Da, Harper J, Nusanad, Pennings G, Raman Sutter C. De Wer G. Dynamics and Ethics of Comprehensive Pre-Implantation Genetic Testing, A Review of the Challenges. Humreprod Update 2013, 19.4, 366-375. 2. Propping P. Schott H. Embryo Screening, Update German View of Genetic Testing. Nature 2014, 510-7506, 473. 3. Simmons X response to Thomas Zuretsky's pre-implantation genetic diagnosis and rational choice under risk or uncertainty. Journal of Medical Ethics November 2014, 4011, 779. 4. Wapner R. J., Levy B. The Impact of New Genomic Technologies in Reproductive Medicine. Discov Med. 2014, 1796. 313-318. 5. Zuretsky T. Pre-implantation genetic diagnosis and rational choice under risk or uncertainty. Journal of Medical Ethics 2014, 4011, 774-778. 6. Zuretsky T. A Situation of Ethical Limbo and Pre-implantation Genetic Diagnosis. Journal of Medical Ethics 2014, 4011, 780-781. 7. Wettstein L. M. Ethical Challenges in Assisted Reproduction, The Place of Pre-Implantation Genetic Diagnosis in a Just Society. J. Child Neural 2013, EPUB Ahead of Print. 8. Santos M. J. Manipulation Genetic Disease Humanos. Ars Medica 2006, 13, 91, 102. 9. Fitzgerald K. PGD, Biomedical Insights and Ethical Considerations. Inscrecci, Lofit J., eds. The Human Embryo Before Implantation. Scientific Aspects and Bioethical Considerations. Proceedings of the 12th Assembly of the Pontifical Academy for Life, Vatican. 27 February 1th of March, 2006. Libraria Editris Vaticana, 2007, 158-166. 10. Rethormal. Prenatal and Pre-implantation Diagnosis from the Parent's Viewpoint. Inscrecci, Lofit J., eds. The Human Embryo Before Implantation. Scientific Aspects and Bioethical Considerations. Proceedings of the 12th Assembly of the Pontifical Academy for Life, Vatican, 27 February 1th of March, 2006. Libraria Editris Vaticana, 2007, 167-176. 11. Burgess Jacob Is I Go To Be A Human Being? Bioethics 2008, 28. 12. Dewart G., Donnerp W., Shenfield F., et al. Escher Task Force on Ethics and Law 22, Pre-Implantation Genetic Diagnosis. Human Reproduction 2014, 29-8, 1610-1617. 13. Damien B. B., Bonetti T.C., Harovitz D.D. Practices and Ethical Concerns Regarding Pre-Implantation Diagnosis. Who regulates pre-implantation genetic diagnosis in Brazil? Res J. Med Bio Res. 2015, 48-1, 25-33. 14. Ventura Junca P., Santos M.J. The Beginning of Life of a New Human Being from the Scientific Perspective and Its Bioethical Implications. Biol. Res. 2011, 44, 201-107. 15. Santos M.J., Ventura Junca P.L. Inicio de la Vida en Nuevo Ser Humano de la Perspectiva Scientifica Biologica. And Rodriguez A., ed. Aborto y Anticoncepción de Emergencia, Aspectos Antropológicos, Éticos y Jurídicos. Ecuador, Ediciones del Centro de Biótica de la Universidad Técnica Particular de la UJA, 2013, 35-46. 16. Evans J.P., Florman H.M. The State of the Union, The Cell Biology of Fertilization. Nat Cell Biol. 2002. Forsapl, S. 5763. 17. Sutovsky P. Sperm Egg Adhesion and Fusion in Mammals. Expert Reverend Malek. Med. 2009, 11E11, 112. 18. Daniels R., Lowell S., Bolton V., Monk M. Transcription of Tissue-Specific Genes in Human Pre-Implantation Embryos. Human Reproduction 2997, 1210, 2251-2256. 19. Igami K., Akin J., Tanaka S., Yagi S., Shiro K. Interplay between DNA methylation, histone modification and chromatin remodeling in stem cells and during development. Int. J. Deb. Biol. 2009, 53, 203-114. 20. Santos M.J., Ventura Junca P. Bioethical Aspects of Basic Research and Medical Applications of Human Stem Cells. Biol Res 2012, 45, 317-326. 21. Smith B., Brogard B. 16 Days. J. Med. Fellows. 2003, 28, 45-78. 22. Samadamo D., Capalbo A., Uboldi F.M. et al. The Impact of Biopsy on Human Embryo Developmental Potential During Pre-Implantation Genetic Diagnosis. Biomed Res. Int. 2016, Article ID 7193075. Doi http://dx.oi.org/10.1155/2016/7193075. 23. Chen C.K., Yu Hite, Sung, Li C.L. New Perspectives on Pre-Implantation Genetic Diagnosis and Pre-Implantation Genetic Screening. J. Obstet Gynecol. 2014, 53-2. 146-150. 24. Klitzman R., Abate K.J., Chung W.K., et al. Views of Pre-Implantation Genetic Diagnosis Among Psychiatrists and Neurologists. J. Reprod Met 2014, 5978, 385-392. 25. Turkaspai, G. Lani R., Doris Wimi P.M. Pre-implantation genetic diagnosis for inherited neurological disorders. Nat Rev. Neural. 2014, 10-7, 417-424. 26. Yanel, Wei Y, Wang J, Zhu X. Et al. Advances in pre-implantation genetic diagnosis, screening. Sci China Life Sci. 2014, 57-7, 665-671. 27. Andy Saida, Kontorani A, Hardy K, Winston RML. Pregnancies from biopsied human pre-implantation embryos sexed by Y-specific DNA amplification. Nature 1990, 344, 768, 770. 28. Brezina PR, Brezina DS, Kearns WG. Pre-implantation genetic testing. BMJ 2012, 18345, E5908. DOI 10.1136/BMJ.E5908. 29. Zhang S., Tan K., Gong F., et al. Blastocysts can be rebiopsied for pre-implantation genetic diagnosis and screening. Fertile Sterile. 2014, 100-6, 1641-1645. 30. Scott K. L., Hong K. H., Scott R. T. Jr. Selecting the optimal time to perform biopsy for pre-implantation genetic testing. Fertile Sterile. 2013, 103, 608, 614. 31. Collins SC. Pre-implantation genetic diagnosis, technical advances and expanding applications. Kirpin Ipstedt Gynekol. 2013, 25-3, 201-106. 32. Martin J. Server OE, Mir P. Martinez Comderoya, Pellicere, Simon C. The impact of next-generation sequencing technology on pre-implantation genetic diagnosis and screening. Fertile Sterile. 2013, 99-4, 1054-1061. 33. Scott R. T., Upham K. M., Forman Edge, et al. Cleavage stage biopsy significantly impairs human embryonic implantation potential while blastocyst biopsy does not. A randomized and paired clinical trial. Fertile Sterile 2013, 103, 624-630. DOI 10.1016/J.Fertenstert.2013.04.039. 34. Simpson J.L. Pre-implantation genetic diagnosis at 20 years. Prenat Diag. 2010, 37, 682-695. 35. Zernicke gets M cleavage pattern in emerging asymmetry of the mouse embryo. Nat Rev. Moles Cell Biol. 2005, 6, 919-928. 36. List J. Chromic I. Chiglinski J., Jogello M., Lukasik A., Lukasik K. Current methods for pre-implantation genetic diagnosis. Gynekol Ball. 2016, 87-7, 520-526. DOI 10.5603/GP.2016.0037. 37. Barteb. Pre-implantation genetic screening reveals a high incidence of aneuploidy and mosaicism in embryos from young women undergoing IVF. Human Reproduction 2005. 38. Lee E., Illingworth P., Wilton L., Chambers G.M. The clinical effectiveness of pre-implantation genetic diagnosis for aneuploidy in all 24 chromosomes, PGDA. Systematic Review. Human Reproduction 2014, p. 2303. Ipov ahead of print. 39. Mital Ipov S., Amato P., Perry S., Falk M. J. Limitations of pre-implantation genetic diagnosis for mitochondrial DNA diseases. Cell Rep. 2014, 74, 935, 937. 40. Sampino S. Zaccini F. Swirgi Law. Et al. Effects of blastomere biopsy on postnatal growth and behavior in mice. Human Reproduction 2014, 29-9, 1875-1883. 41. Elder J. Vitti, Srebnik N., Altairskoji, et al. Neonatal outcome after pre-implantation genetic diagnosis. Fertile sterile. 2014, 100-4, 10-16-10-21. 42. Winter C., Van Acker F., Bondul M., Desmidier S., Deshridger F., Necroek J. Cognitive and psychomotor development of 5-6-year-old singletons born after PGD, a prospective case-controlled matched study. Human Reproduction 2014, 29-9, 1968-1977. 43. Zakharovy, Zaltova VV, Krivokarchenko AS. Biopsy of human morulus stage embryos, outcome of 215 IVF/ICSI cycles with PGS. Plus 1. 2014, 99, E106433. Doi. 10.1371/journal.pone.0106433. 44. Baudet al. Pre-implantation genetic screens. Science Translational Medicine 2015, 349-6255, 1423. doi.10.1126/science.ad4803. 45. Locke J. An Essay Concerning Human Understanding. Edited with an introduction by Peter H. Nittich. Oxford. Clarendon Press. 1975. 1694. 46. Martin R., Bar S.E.J. Eds. Personal Identity. Oxford, Blackwell, 2003. 47. Barry J., ed. Personal Identity. Berkeley, University of California Press, 2008. 48. Tully M. Abortion and Infanticide. Philosophy and Public Affairs 1972, 2, 3765. 49. Singer P. Practical Ethics. Cambridge, Cambridge University Press, 1993. 50. Kutcher C.H. The Ethics of Abortion. Women's Rights, Human Life, and the Question of Justice. London, Routledge. 2011. 51. Boon and D. A Defense of Abortion. Cambridge, Cambridge University Press, 2003. 52. Martin R., Bar S.E.J.'s Introduction. Personal Identity and What Matters in Survival, an Historical Overview. In Martin R., Bar S.E.J. Eds. Personal Identity. Oxford, Blackwell. 2003, 174. 53. Olson E. The Human Animal. Personal Identity Without Psychology. New York. Oxford University Press. 1997. 54. Olson E. An Argument for Animalism. In Martin R., Bar S.E.J. Eds. Personal Identity. Oxford, Blackwell. 2003. 318-334. 55. Olson E. What Are We? A Study in Personal Ontology. Oxford. Oxford University Press, 2007. 56. Snowden P.F. Persons, Animals, Ourselves. Oxford. Oxford University Press, 2014,